Good evening, church. This evening we gather on Ash Wednesday, a time of preparation as we look forward to Easter Sunday, a time where we place dust and ashes on our foreheads to remember from dust we were created, and to dust we shall return. And so we gather in this time, in this space, and we meet God here and one another here. I would invite you to join me in the opening liturgy that's on the screen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
And please join me in prayer. O God, maker of everything and judge of all that has been made, from the dust of the earth you have formed us, and from the dust of death you would raise us up. By the redemptive power of the cross, create in us clean hearts and put within us a new spirit, that we may repent of our sins and live lives worthy of your calling. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Psalm 25, verses 4 through 7, we hear the scripture. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been told of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit.
I invite you to hear these words from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and verses 12 through 17. I hear these words from the scriptures. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be ever again. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet of Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, and bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast, let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber, let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar, and let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who comes to save us. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but the beginning part of that scripture is kind of intense, right? It says, blow the horn as loud as you possibly can. Blow the horn so that people might wake up from their sleepiness. And when you read the book of Joel, scholars don't necessarily agree exactly what time period this particular book was written. Some people say it was early, some people say it was later. Joel the prophet was telling the people in the southern kingdom of Judah that they needed to wake up from their sinful ways. He accused them of getting too drunk. He accused them of teaching false things. He accused them of allowing the rich people to get richer while the poor people got poorer. He accused them of burning up natural resources like forests. He said that there were forest fires in the land that were destroying crops and completely destroying the source of food for people in the southern kingdom. He said that the rulers were out of touch with the ordinary people of his day. He said that there were major problems facing the entire land. And I kind of got to thinking, now wait a minute, where have I heard some of this stuff before? And I got a little bit in touch with, like, in my little imagination, you know, like, what would God say these days if God came in 2022 and was sitting in front of cable network news watching the storylines about forest fires burning down huge swaths of land? Oh, yeah, I almost forgot, earthquakes that were leading to big waves destroying entire communities. If there were leaders, can you imagine this, that were out of touch with the needs of the people? And if there were rich people getting richer while poor people were getting poorer, I mean, it's almost impossible to imagine a time like that, right? And I got to thinking, if God was sitting in front of the network news today, maybe God would be disappointed, maybe angry, maybe longing for the reign of the kingdom that Jesus came to sort of embody almost 2,000 years ago. Joel clearly wrote before the time of Jesus, but I got to wondering, maybe God would be just as bummed about the reality of our human experience today as God was in the time of Joel, whenever that might have been. And then I got to thinking, this is kind of a timeless text in some respects. But Joel said, let the trumpet sound, as if to say, wake up from the way that you're living, acting, and being. You can change. You don't have to live this way anymore. You can have your entire life trajectory altered. You can live in the way that God intended for you to live. He said, blow the trumpet, wake the people up, get the spiritual leaders together to start leading God's people. He called people to account, and he said, God is coming in a mighty army. This was kind of the scary part of the scripture, if I'm being honest. God is coming in a mighty army such that the world has never seen before, and perhaps before last Thursday night, that imagery we could sort of hold at a distance. But now we kind of know exactly what it looks like when a mighty army, that sort of spans 40 miles of military vehicles. We have a sense of what that looks like, and we even know what it looks like to have entire cities completely surrounded with artillery fire and missiles being launched through the air, nearly 450 of them. We know what that explosion in the evening time looks like, and the complete and total fear of an entire population in Ukraine of nearly 40 million people. And this scripture said that by all the things that we've been doing, maybe God would be completely justified to show up in just such a way. With a mighty army, God shows up and straightens everything out and decrees that this is justice and this is how you should be behaving and this is what order should look like in the land today. And that's what Joel says. Someday God's going to bring a massive army to take over and rule by the iron fist, right? That God will be just, that God will be righteous. And then all of a sudden in verse 12, there's this pivot, right? The prophet Joel says, the thing about God, though, is while most of us are sort of sitting around saying, like, God, bail us out of this mess. We don't really know how to change our ways. We continue to fight one another over resources and oil and food, and we continue to strife with our brother, and we still haven't taken Jesus' words seriously. It's really not that hard. I promise you, love your neighbor as yourself. It's not that challenging, and yet we still struggle to take seriously those words. But in verse 12, it says, God actually is not really like that. Despite the fact that God probably should show up and straighten some of us out, it says this, there's still time. Instead of saying God is here to judge us all, it says there's still a moment for us to transform our lives from the way that we've been living into a brand new way of thinking, feeling, acting, and being in the world. There's still time for us to change. And you never know. This is my favorite part in the scripture here. It says, instead of bringing wrath and judgment and anger, which some people have this image of God as sort of like, what are you doing? God might bring food for people who are hungry, as a way of blessing them in the midst of their struggles. God might bring something to drink for people who are thirsty as a way of showing divine mercy and grace. God might show up in a way that none of us would expect, a way that emphasizes forgiveness and grace and mercy. And instead of getting maybe what some of us think we deserve, justice and wrath and anger and judgment, we get grace. And I think that's what Lent is all about. When the prophet Joel says, there's still time, there's still a moment, you can turn from your ways, that's kind of what we say at the beginning of Lent, this 40-day season of preparation. There's still time before Easter Sunday. There's still time between now and then for us to take a moment to think about how we've been living, to think about the things that we've been doing that we wish we weren't doing, and to think about the things that we have really wanted to do that we failed to do. And for some of us, these last 2 years have been pretty hard, and it feels like everything in the world has been taken away from us. And so for some of us, this season of Lent means like, I'm giving up chocolate, right? Like, or I'm giving up sweets, or I'm not going out to eat at fast food restaurants, or you know what? I'm not watching TV for 40 days. But for some of you, like, everything in the world has been taken away from you. And personally, I'm kind of hoping that for the next 40 days, I don't have to give up Tigers baseball. Anybody else with me on that? We will pray for the millionaires and billionaires to sort it out, but they haven't done so yet, so there's no opening day. But for some of us, we've given up so much, so maybe it doesn't make sense to observe that spiritual practice of giving something up during this season. Maybe you've given up visits and holidays with family members for 2 years. Maybe you've given up already eating in restaurants and you only do takeout. Maybe you've given up trips that you were dreaming of taking for years and years and years. And so this season of Lent, when so many of us are like, I am going to give up one thing or another, maybe instead of giving something up, it's a time to add something. Maybe for the first time during this season of Lent, you could say, I'm committing myself to pray every day when I wake up in the morning and to give thanks to God for all of the great things that I have in my life. Maybe during this season of Lent, you feel moved to some other form of action. Maybe once a week, you're going to find some way to serve, to use your hands and your feet and your mind to bless somebody else in the world. Maybe during this season of Lent, you'll commit yourself into giving of your time and your talent and your resources. Maybe you'll pick like one thing a week to just sort of bless with your financial offering to sort of make the world a better place. Maybe you can find it in your heart to, as a family or as a couple or as an individual, just pause before the food that you eat to remember folks in the time of Joel that were going without food. And just simply entering into that spiritual practice of being grateful for the things that so many of us take for granted. Maybe the next time you turn on the tap of water as a spiritual practice during Lent, you might just be grateful that the water that you take a shower in or that you take a bath in is clean and safe and potable, where so many folks in the world don't get access to that luxury. During this season of Lent, there are so many things you could do. You might choose simply to, on a daily basis, take out the Bible and read a book that you've never read before, or perhaps choose a book that's your favorite as a way of growing in your relationship with God and Jesus Christ. I think the truth is, maybe this is a good year to add something instead of subtracting things, because we've done so much subtracting in the last couple of years that part of your season of Lent might be to take a step forward into your relationship with God by adding a spiritual practice. But whatever you choose to do, it's my hope that you would be reminded that there's still time. And that time is one of the greatest gifts that God can afford us. We've got an opportunity to choose what we do with the time that we have been given. In a couple of moments, we'll be putting the imposition of ashes on people's forehead, which I think is one of the ways that we remind ourselves that time is one of the greatest gifts that we have. Pastor Lindsay and I will put ashes on your forehead if you choose, and we'll say, you came from dust. That's where your time began, and at the end of your time, you'll return to dust. But God's question for all of us is, what do we do with the time in between that? How do you make it count? Because I don't know about you, but I can hear the trumpet sounding. And in some ways, it's sort of waking me up. When I was up late into the evening last Thursday night watching bombs exploding in the air during a military operation in Ukraine, there was a part of me that heard trumpet sounds. When I keep reading about close to a billion people around the world who don't have access to clean and safe drinking water, I'm hearing trumpet sounds. When I continuously see and hear stories about kids going to school with holes in their shoes and holes in their pants in the wealthiest country in the entire world, I hear trumpet sounds. When I hear stories about people increasingly disengaging with religious communities and spiritually supportive communities, I hear trumpets sounding. And I find myself connected with the prophets like Joel. When I see natural disasters leveling island communities in the Caribbean, I hear trumpets sounding. When I continuously observe nation states declaring violence and threats against one another, I hear trumpets sounding. But the good news that comes out of Joel is it's not too late. There's still time. All we have to do is to look within ourselves and to go to God and offer ourselves as part of being an ambassador to the kingdom of God. There's still time. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Give His holy peace.
Amen. Thank you so much, choir, for that beautiful piece. As we gather here at God's table, the palm branches from last year's Palm Sunday become the very ashes that we gather here to receive on our forehead, a reminder of that passage of time, an opportunity for us to be reminded of all the things that have happened in this last year, some of those things we're excited and grateful for, some of those things we wish hadn't happened, some of the things that we wish we could take back, and yet as we gather here, these ashes become a mark, a claim that God has on our lives. And so in a moment, we'll ask everyone to come forward and receive these ashes as a chance to remember and to hold sacred the passage of time and to remember that we came from these very ashes, these carbon molecules, and someday that's exactly the form that we will take, but the question is what we choose to do with the time that we have. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us this night and that we might experience and remember that we came from dust and to dust we shall return. And we pray that you might fill our life with meaning and hope and joy, for we hear the trumpet. We hear your calling. We hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We'd invite you to come forward to receive the ashes, starting from the back and making your way forward.
Join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we know that the world is not as you dreamed it might be. And we pause in the midst of these moments to acknowledge our part in that, knowing that some things are so far beyond our control, but there are some things we can control. And so we ask you to help us have eyes to see and hearts that are open, ears that are open to hear where you might be calling us to go. We pray that you would allow us to see the people that you would have us become, and that you would point us in the direction of what you would have us do with this Lenten season of preparation. And we pause in the midst of busy lives to offer our silent prayers before you in this time. And now, with the confidence of your children, we pray together the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we gather in this time of worship, we also come to the Lord's table. We come to remember, we come to dine, we come to meet Christ in this place. And we remember that on the night before Jesus gave himself up for us, he was with his disciples in the upper room, those 12 that were journeying with him in ministry. There that evening, Jesus took bread and gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it, and he gave it to the disciples, telling them to eat, for this is his body. Given, broken, sacrificed for them. When the supper was over then, Jesus took a cup. Again, Jesus gave thanks to God for it and blessed it and gave it to the disciples, telling them to drink from this, all of them. For this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for them and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Christ's body given and sacrificed for us. The cup of grace, the cup of new life given for us. And so in remembrance and celebration of these mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as a living and faithful sacrifice to God, that we might be God's hands and feet and voice and presence here on this earth. Almighty God, may you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup. May they be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all of the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
As we gather at the table to receive the elements, you'll be receiving them individually. John will be holding the basket of regular elements, and I'll be holding the basket of gluten-free elements if that is what you need. I invite you to come forward, again starting from the back, and then coming forward to receive the elements. As you take a bag, go ahead and sit back down to your pew, and we'll take the bread of life and the cup of grace together. When you're done, you can put all of your trash in the small bag and dispose of it on the way out of worship. Christ's table is set, and all are welcome. Won't you come? Let's pray. Oh, holy God, we gather with thankfulness on our hearts for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, his body and blood shed for us. As we enter the season of Holy Lent, may we choose to add or may we choose to subtract, however that choice is made, God, may we choose to draw closer to you, to your Son, and to seek to follow in your footsteps, in your way. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Please join us in singing our closing hymn.
Thank you.
to me seems so apropos to the service and the scripture and the evening that we've had tonight. So many of us have the proclivity to walk right by the needs that are right in front of our face. We have opportunities to do good in this world, and may this season be filled with those opportunities. I have to admit, I've never done Ash Wednesday in a sanctuary with carpet before, and so a couple of you, I just want to apologize. I'm pretty sure I, like, shocked your head while I was imposing the ashes, but may that be the trumpet sounding in your life, you know? You got a double wake-up call, not only the static electricity charged within your body, but the ashes on your forehead are a reminder. As you go out into the night, and people turn their heads sideways to try to take in the smudge of dirt on your forehead, may it be a mark of pride, knowing that you are marked and claimed by God's grace, that this is the beginning of a spiritual pilgrimage towards the cross of Easter, and we are on a journey together. May your Lenten season be filled with holiness and blessing. May you grow in abundant faith. As you depart from this place, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.